Well, hello everyone. It is episode 156 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. It is Friday, August 23rd, and I'm recording a little bit later, so I'm sure this is going to go up a little bit later, maybe tomorrow. We'll wait and see. I'm going to launch straight into it because, awesome, the Democratic National Convention was this week. I was a little too busy to catch the whole thing, but what bits and pieces and what others have shared with me, I think it went really well. A lot better than, say, the GOP convention, really. It, as one friend put it, it's as though a bunch of white guys got together to run a podcast without the right equipment and sit around and drank beer and self-congratulated compared to a Hollywood performance where the movie is centered around people talking at microphones. So it was night and day to those that watched both. And the particular individual isn't even heavily biased towards one party or the other. It was just an opinion of, wow, these people really put on a show and these people didn't. So that's kind of neat to hear from an outsider looking in. We're going to go right to podcast at flameflash.net. Comments, because Keila wrote in. Hi, Keila. I appreciate it. Trump, she wants to remind everyone that Trump is a 34-time convicted felon. This is definitely a race between the prosecutor and the felon. And we need to remember that, because everyone else is forgetting that as well. If you remember last episode, I mentioned how folks were forgetting things. They were forgetting the fact that now Trump is tied for the oldest candidate ever running for president. Trump's too old per himself, because Biden's only 4 years older. So why, again, why aren't we having that conversation? Why are we having the conversation of a felon even run for president? Because at the end of the day, he's a convicted felon. Some countries traditionally will not grant visas to individuals that are felons in the United States. So why is Trump getting a special pass? Because he's a former president. The rule of law is such, regardless of what the recent immunity clause that was made up says, the rule of law is that everyone is a citizen, everyone can rise to the position of president and have the equal opportunity to do so. That's the American dream, my friends. That is the American dream. Anyone can be president if you follow the very short list of rules set out in the Constitution. And that includes Trump, because the list of rules don't say anything about being a felon. But there are other rules that should, because he can't do his job if he can't step foot in Germany or France, etc. Just putting that out there. He's getting a pass, and he shouldn't be getting a pass. He's only getting a pass because there is a cult backing him. That's the scary prospect. Think about that. Speaking of things we've forgotten, Keela also reminded me of the Biden infrastructure bill. Remember also how last time we were discussing the fact that things are cyclical, that what one president does doesn't fully take effect until, say, the next president comes into town. And that's why we have this modern historical pattern of Republican, then Democrat, then Republican, then Democrat. And the next president down the line takes credit for the previous president's hard work. Assuming, this is a big assumption, that bridges actually get built, there's not any corruption, that roads get fixed, Biden's infrastructure bill will have long-lasting positive impact long after he's no longer president, regardless of who gets elected here in 2024 and takes office in 2025. So if Harris wins and the roads are looking better and other infrastructure is looking better, you have to remember that's not on her. That's on Biden. Biden signed it. Same if Trump's in office. Biden signed it. Trump is very, very quick to take credit for work that is not his and place blame for things that are his. We saw that when he took office in 2016. So it's a common MO. He is an individual that has very large difficulty with taking responsibility for one's own actions. And that's something that all people need to work on, to take responsibility for your own actions, to own up to your mistakes, not just Trump. It's just a common human failing, the fear of failure, the fear of repercussions from that failure, whether it's at work, in a relationship, wherever it happens to be. But we will be better people overall if we take responsibility for our actions and admit when we screw up. Finally, Keela would also like to remind us of the Bible edit and him linking himself so hard to Christianity. I guess he made a good $300,000 for his campaign, if I'm reading the link that she sent me correctly. So that's kind of gross, guys. But then the Trump cult is fine with that. The fundamentalists are fine with that. I, as a Christian, am not fine with that. Somebody going out and profiting off of religion, that's a cult, guys. There's no other way to narrow it down. He's a cult leader. And he's even pulling religion into it. And that's that. This morning, my mother, or last night, posted a Facebook status that I haven't been able to go back to. It's been a very busy day for me. That's why I'm recording later. And I am looking forward to the fallout because I'm attempting to simply use the Socratic method of, okay, yes and, yes but. I'm not going to attack your opinions. I'm going to ask for your facts because I'm coming with receipts and I am showing you that your statements as they are factually incorrect. At least the ones that are yes, no, sky is orange. I mean, at sunset, it kind of can be sometimes, but I am asking the individuals that are attacking my mom on Facebook, where are your facts? What are your facts? Your opinions, they're your opinions. If you have an opinion on abortion and you feel strongly about it, I'm not going to fault you one way or another. I strongly disagree. I think men should just be butting out of it because we don't have the cisgendered males don't have the plumbing for it, and therefore we have no horse in the race, and therefore we should stay out of it. So therefore, since a majority of the Senate and the House are men, they should be staying out of it. That's just my opinion. But if an uncle of mine comes on Facebook and says, I believe in X, that's his opinion. I'm not going to attack him on the opinion. What I am going to attack him on is, and the economy is worse. The economy in Minnesota is worse. How? What numbers are you talking about? What numbers are you referencing? Or are you simply parroting what the GOP talking heads are saying because they're trying to attack Tim Walz? I am better off through my own personal hard work, economically speaking, than I was 4 years ago. Yes, are some things problematic, like the prices? Price of cheese, for example, was $6.22 in Sam's for a 2-pound block. That same block of cheese prior to COVID, prior to COVID in 2016 was $4.00 and something cents. That's a pretty big increase, guys. But guess who was actually in office as the price went up? So if you want to just blame the president that's in office, that was Trump. That wasn't Biden. Prices continued to rise. But again, that was due to corporate greed, corporations going, hey, our costs are going way up during the pandemic. We need to raise prices to stay afloat. That's economics. What they continued to do, however, is continue to raise prices even after the pandemic. It's still going on, you could say, but we're kind of living with it now. And they're pricing out even McDonald's, Subway. It is cheaper to go to a sit-down Mexican restaurant, local Mexican restaurant, than to order a foot-long sub at Subway. You can get the lunch platter number 7 at my local restaurant cheaper than a foot-long. What the crap, guys? That's corporate greed. The mom-and-pop Mexican restaurant can't do that. They have to keep prices reasonable. Subway, because of their corporate backing, can go ahead and amp up those prices. McDonald's can remove fountains from the lobby so that you have to be charged for a refill. The subtle things, the simple things. That's the price inflation. It had nothing to do with the president. It had everything to do with people are accepting these prices. Let's push it just that little bit more. They're still accepting them. Push it just that little bit more. Except now, the economy is appropriately slowing down due to the work of the Fed. Inflation is brought to heel. And they're still pushing their prices up and going, oh, it's inflation. It's inflation. No, it's not. It's greed. It has been greed. Yes, there was some inflation. But hand in hand with that inflation was the greed. Because costs have not gone up for production at the same speed that the prices have gone up. Yes, that's a little bit inflation, but that's also a lot greed. Just keep that math in the back pocket. I got off on a tangent there on inflation, but we need those constitutional post-Trump patches, amendments. I'm an IT guy, so I say patches sometimes. But that's what it is. They designed the system originally. The Constitution is an absolutely amazing document. They had the foresight to go, we don't want revolution so constantly, looking at you, France, and we want to make subtle changes where necessary, when needed. Have an amendment process. There it is. Trump, just to kind of close out my politics rant section, my economics rant section, Trump is the ultimate example of the story of the emperor with no clothes. He says he's okay to be doing whatever it is he's doing, and the cult just goes along with it. Harris, in comparison, has actual real faith in this country, real faith that we can rise up above where we are right now, and that if we can remove the teeth from the emperor, we will be able to finally leave his era behind and heal. And I love that message. Now, the rest of her speech is queued up on my YouTube. I still need to watch it. Started watching it on the drive to work, but I ran out of podcasts. So I am adding more podcasts to the world because clearly there is not enough yet, or I wouldn't have run out of podcasts to listen to. And I'm going to now pivot. If you're only here for politics, I'm probably pivoting away from that now. So thank you for stopping by. Podcast@flameflash.net. Keila, I'm looking at you. But I am going to pivot to entertainment. There's something exciting on Netflix coming. Now, I already have watched this because I had Netflix Discs service until they literally killed it off. And therefore got the show A Discovery of Witches on disc when that was available. But it is now streaming on Netflix. This was a fantastic book series by Deborah Harkness, and it takes an entirely new look at modern fantasy fiction. Yes, you have the vampires, you have the daemons, you have witches, but it takes an entirely interesting political look at what the world would be like and all of the interactions. And I loved it. I love the books. I love the rendition done on film. And now Netflix has it. So if you're not a big reader, but you want an excellent, unique take, there's no love triangle here, for example. This is not Twilight. This is A Discovery of Witches. It is on Netflix. I'm not being paid by Netflix. It's just that good of a story that I want it out there. Ms. Harkness deserves all of the credit for creating this unique fantasy world, this unique fantasy premise. She builds science into the fantasy, genetics, and I loved it. So it's out there now on Netflix. I'm half tempted to watch it with my older kids and see if they get hooked because it's just that good. But there is a little, romance novel level to it in a couple of spots. So just be wary of that if you're watching in mixed company. So that's, I'm on the fence about sharing it with the kids just because of that. So just keep that in mind. Gaming-wise, last weekend, I think I talked about Civ 5 a little, or Civ 6 a little bit, but finally got to play it on PS5. It was a blast. So it was my future son-in-law, my son, and a couple of their friends both times. Continents map at first, probably not the best thing to use because unfortunately one of our players got stuck on the opposite continent, not with any of the humans. So it was basically a game of myself, my son, and my son-in-law. So we kind of dropped that one eventually. And then the other four-player one that we tried to start up was more island plates or small continents. I can't remember which one. And this one's going well. I'm hoping to go back to it. It's been a blast. We're competing, but we're not. You know, it's the peaceful routes, though. The son-in-law is Germany, so there's going to be a problem eventually because it's the Frederick pre-World War I Germany leader. And that's just what that Germany is scaled and balanced to do, is go for the domination victories. But I'm loving it. So the base game was on sale. Watch for it being on sale. Civ 7 was announced on GamesCon recently. And there is light rumor because I'm going to be a grandpa soon. Very soon. Yesterday was the due date. So we're on baby watch now. I half expected to not even record a podcast episode because I was going to be off visiting my grandson. That clearly did not happen. But we'll wait and see. We are in baby watch, not baby warning. No labor yet. Maybe next week I'll be reporting happily that I have a new grandson to the world. But thank you for stopping by. I am hoping tonight to play some World of Warcraft or maybe some Stardew. I'm back into Clash of Clans. Not much to say about any of those at the moment because Clash of Clans is Clash of Clans. But I'm playing with family, either by blood, marriage, or friendship. And it's been fun. Find those connections, my friends. Be good to one another. And I'm going to sign off. This was Friday, August 23rd, episode 156. I'm back, and it's going well. Take care.